Hello and welcome to All Out for No Loss. This is episode 10 for this season. I am Vijay Kumar and I have with me my co-host Vasant Kumar. The other co-hosts, Anand Kumar Sankaran and Ramakrishnan Nair, are off elsewhere. On to today's episode. It's a special one. We have with us Biju Nair. Hi, Biju.
Hi.
Very quick introduction. So he's a don of cricket here in the Bay Area, owner for Blazers, a top minor league franchise in US cricket today. He has been a guiding light for youth cricket over the years. He has also had a stint as president of the storied North California Cricket Association. It is one of the very first cricket associations in the world even. He now owns the Blazers Cricket Academy, fostering youth and making it a pipeline for the minor league and major league cricket. And speaking of major league cricket, Biju also has a hand with the SF Unicorns. So we are excited to talk to him all things cricket today. Biju, welcome to the All Out for No Loss podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Vijay and Vasant. Thank you for the great opportunity. And I'm so excited that we are sitting an evening in Bay Area talking about cricket beyond talking about pure technology only. So that's an amazing feeling for me and probably a dream come true for me after 30 years of staying here in the country. Thank you.
Absolutely. So my association with Biju, I should start with a note of thanks. Biju was the one who introduced a youth league for the NCCA. We used to have the youth tournaments, like every long weekend, we used to travel different parts of the country to play youth tournaments. But then Biju said, let's have all our Bay Area kids play against each other and train across academies, across age groups. And whatever boon it was, cricket started prospering. The kids now were playing against better competition, had an aptitude built towards the game. So a lot of that goes to Biju's vision around promoting a youth league. First of all, many congratulations, Biju, on the first anniversary of Blazers Cricket Academy. So let's start there. What was your germination process and how is the academy doing today?
Thank you, Vijay. You brought up so much important points, which is very encouraging for the overall cricket and also is very close to my heart. The youth league had a lot of resistance across the board and I was successful with a lot of support from other folks. In 2017, we were able to put 380 plus players out here when there was no structured system here, actually. All the academies participated. It was a great success. And the reason I brought up that point here is that as someone aware about and thinking about it, you will be knowing clearly why it is important to have a structured system for the youth. And there has to be a pathway. And there has to be a structured system, whether it is youth or whether it is an adult. There has to be an element of professionalism. There has to be an element of competition need to come. And also, while we used to have cricket mostly in the US as more of a recreation sport, but it is converting and converging towards a path of professional, semi-professional sport with a good competition. So to do that, to cater that, it is extremely important to have the right feeder system. Without feeder system, there won't be any existence of this ecosystem in the future. It is going to be only temporary blooming and just it'll go off actually. So how do we enable that? The only way is to provide the potential feeder system that is coming from the youth. And also, I always use this thought process. Cricket was a sport which is pushed by probably the people from cricket playing country who came here and as immigrant. But when can be a sport which can be a pull for the kids or a pull for the youth? So it's from a push to convert to a pull and it needs a pathway. Without pathway, the youth will be looking towards to get pulled to that direction. Fortunately, we have a decent structure as part of the US cricket pathway. But on top of that, the semi-professional system came, which is nothing but the minor league and major league. That also paves another pathway. It became part and parcel of the building of the major league cricket and the minor league cricket in the country and also end up owning one of the franchisee, which is Blazers. And who we became the national finalist last year. Over the last 3-4 years, we've been consistently progressing towards the positive direction. So when we found that there is an existence of a pathway and how you can feed it. So I found that we have already good set of players already part of the minor league and major league system. Why can't we take the benefit of those players to be enabling the existing youth players to build an ecosystem actually? So that was probably my initial trigger. That's number one. Number two, as you know, that even prior to the minor league or major league. I've been all along in the youth system for many, many, many years. So I found an absence of potentially a structured, high performance, high end coaching capability and infrastructure. So that also was another thought process which drove me to build this element. And third thing is that I have a very, I would say, a bit of a strict principles in the way of how the youth program need to run. And that also made me to say that, okay, let me try to do it and experiment what my thoughts and principles are, whether it is executable and is all or the way I would like to have. So these are the various factors which effectively stemmed into the build of Academy in the last year, 2023. So we had 2 years of run in the minor league, but by the time we got some maturity across the board on the cricket environment, and I saw the ecosystem in the past, and I saw how the ecosystem is changing. So these are the various elements enabled me or probably provoked me or triggered me to do that, this creation of Blazers Cricket Academy.
I love it. I think somewhere you see the big jigsaw puzzle. You find a few pieces here and there, and you're slowly trying to put them all together and get that big picture going up.
In particular, I liked your push to pull. I think currently it's more about parents who have been pushing their children to try to achieve what they were not able to.
Well, I don't know why you're looking at me when you're saying that, but okay. Keep going.
Levity aside, what is happening now is that little by little it's becoming an attraction in itself. It's not being driven by the parents. And I think this kind of a mechanism of pulling people towards the sport is what is going to help broad-base the sport. At the end of the day, if we want this to be successful as a sport across the country, the only way is you start expanding both the geographical reach and the reach among who's going to play. We just can't have only people from the subcontinent or subcontinent origins play this game if you want the game to grow. And I think a lot of questions get answered and the pathway is set for the longer term.
Totally, totally. I think there is a glimpse of light towards that direction, I would say. And especially as Vijay was mentioning about the Northern California Cricket Association established in 1892. At that point of time, I don't think there were many cricket-playing immigrants out here, actually. It was actually, cricket was being played as a national sport here. It was a national sport. And I was interviewed by Comcast in 2012, if I remember correctly, about a cricket documentary. At that time, I was playing a game in Marine, and I was the captain of a Bay Area cricket club at that time. So then I did some good amount of research about cricket in the USA, and it was amazing, and it is really revealing for me at that time. And some of those thoughts and inputs, I think, probably made me to feel that I think we kind of dropped the ball somewhere as a country. So I think if you look at constructively on those elements of it, there is a good chance for us to bring it back, that diversity and the inclusion of not just only the current cricket-playing country, to bring back the old cricket-playing country, which is nothing but America, actually. So.
Yeah, indeed. I think that first international was between the US and Canada back in the day. But coming back to present day, there has been quite a bit of evolution of cricket in the world. But even in Bay Area, I feel that. I see that there is a recognition for white ball cricket a lot more. And it has become a power game. The game has evolved. There is a lot of appreciation for the short form of the game. But all things considered, even when you started running games or playing games in the Bay Area to now, any early day issues that you were seeing that have disappeared and things have just become a lot better?
100%. So the whole scenario and the support system has got changed. Yes, it used to be truly a recreational sport in the past. And at least I remember when I started playing here in Bay Area, there was a lot of barbecue parties and all those things happening more than the competitive cricket, actually. But now I can see that the overall competition is much more higher, number one. Number two, the city, the sports entities in the US, schools, they all know there's a sport called cricket, which is going to be definitely being recognized and approved by everybody. And that actually opens up a lot of doors for us to make the inroads into the getting the grounds, getting the time slots for playing and all, getting the students, to getting the probably the PE hours to just run a session. And I think that way, when I look at it from a youth cricket perspective, there's a lot more improvement. And every city and every city mayor, at least in Bay Area, I can tell you that they are aware about cricket at this point. And that's a big, big enabler. And that's allowing us to have a support system to build more infrastructure at this point. Number of grounds in the Bay Area is at least 5 times or 10 times more than when I saw 30 years back at this point.
Awesome. And from the general growth of cricket to youth cricket, another, should I say, innovation, you just uplifted women's cricket this past year or so. Yeah, we had regionals, the structure was kind of shaping up. But then people like me in the periphery just suddenly saw this game explode among the girls and the women in general. And you had the Bay Area Open last year. The San Diego equivalent of that is going to happen next month. Tell us a little bit about it. How did you put it together? What was the idea behind it?
I think the Blazers Bay Area Open run in during the Labor Day, I would say it was one of the great success what we had in the women's cricket, and especially in the entire country. This was probably the largest women's tournament ever happened. Around 150 players came from different locations, including the Bay Area, and played here. And we made a conscious attempt that there has to be competition as well as the inclusion. So that was the basic principle of that. So most of the time, what was happening was, in the name of competition, there was a lot of exclusion happening. Actually, so many of the people who were looking forward, see, everybody wants to have a pathway, right? I wanted to play from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. These are different levels, or these are different opportunities. I thought I'll have only 4 teams. I ended up having 8 teams. Why that 8 teams? The reason is signups were very high. Still, I had to let go almost 20 to 25 to be sitting out of the from these games, actually. That was a reality. And we had a team from good amount of participants from Canada and some other countries also, actually, almost 10 outsiders. And this time, just now, I'm hearing 2 of them already reaching back and they want to put a full Canadian team. That was amazing to me. And the driving force, definitely full kudos to the San Diego Open. That was definitely a motivation. It was driven by Coach Shiva out there, actually. He did an excellent job. Very, very thoughtful and very genuine workout done in San Diego. I thought we should do a expanded version here, considering the weather and opportunity and the number of players out here. So that was the primary focus. And always I thought, if you want to enable any activity, especially in the sports field, you need to have the inclusion, especially in this country. That's my learning. So what that means is that it has to be youth, it has to be women, it has to be girls, it has to be men. Everywhere need to be having a participation equally. And more importantly, when we did that Bay Area Open, NPR was talking about us, actually, National Public Radio. I was very happy about it. And I happened to hear a couple of people who were old cricket players. They discontinued the cricket. They are women cricketers. They came to Santa Clara ground and personally met me. And as you mentioned about the local folks from U.S. itself who are born and brought up in U.S., how do they get to know? I have at least 2 or 3 families coming from different parts. I remember one coming from Palo Alto. They have no relationship with cricket, but they came and had a personal chat with me. So I think it takes many such efforts to create a pathway, create an awareness. So it takes a lot. But I think this is a small contribution we could do through the Bay Area Open. And we would like to continue the same thing in an overall scheme of things. Focusing on youth cricket as well as women's cricket will completely enable the sport to be a wider accepted sport in the country.
I love how California is spearheading this, and kudos to you and Coach Shiva and everybody else. So we are all beneficiaries of that.
Definitely. And I have to tell you that one of my good friends, Shrikant Kolu, was one of the guys who's triggering me or pushing me to do this. He had put a lot of effort. He continued to be driving this youth cricket. That's a help, big help, actually.
So this is terrific. This is wonderful to see how the infrastructure is being established at the youth level, and this is what's going to be the feeder. In your opinion, how is this feeder coming along? Is the feeder good enough to start populating our minor league cricket? I mean, we've got so many teams all over the country, 26, if I'm not mistaken. And they do need players. They need good players. And these are the young ones are the ones who are going to play in MILC and then go on with the major league in the longer term. Are we really able to make a big dent, or are we still relying on getting some expats coming into play?
So the expats help to build that ecosystem. I think we cannot ignore that part. Okay.
Correct.
And now I'm going to put a simple math. Let's say 26 teams are here. So each team, if they start taking 3 under-19 players. So you're talking about 78 players, roughly, right? So that 78 players are going to be above 16 and below 19. They are the youth. So to get a cream of 78 across the country, you need to have a pool of at least 300.
Easy.
So that means you already built that pyramid. The pyramid is shaping up. And now Major League is also adopting called rookies. And last year and previous year, Major League is adapting 1 to 2 players. And now it's only 6 teams in the Major League. Future, there'll be more number of teams. So effectively, that pyramid is going to work out very well. So I see a very good possibility for players who are looking forward for their potential pathway in participating, getting selected in the minor league as a good motivation for them.
The flip from paying to play the game to actually earning from the game, I think that's happening, right?
So that is exactly, and that's what the initial point I mentioned was on the pull part. What is pulling them? Okay, I'm playing and I will be doing a local tournament, but I will be pulled it to a minor league. Somebody's going to see my performance. Yes, definitely. Always a national team is a dream. National team limitation is 13 to 14 players.
Right.
That's a very narrow path, but still that's an important path and everybody wants to go in that path. So now you are building a parallel stream with this semi-professional cricket possibilities. So that is what it is actually. So in my view, this is an absolutely fantastic opportunity. And also, now all these minor league teams also started participating in the local or domestic tournaments, which are much more professional nowadays. Houston Open, Unity Cup, multiple tournaments are happening. So now that's another pathway for the people to go and play and enjoy and really go beyond the recreational element, actually. So that I clearly see a dent of all these developments of minor league, major league, U.S. cricket pathway system, and also the growth happening in the youth cricket system is supporting each other, actually. And I can see it very clearly. We started in 2023, October end till November, our academy. I'm very proud to say that we are reaching close to 300 now within a year.
Isn't it outstanding? That's just outstanding.
I just want to look at the rate of growth. It is not that every year there's an incoming or a new addition of 20 to 30%. Of new players addition happening in this pool. That's very, very simple math. And sometimes it is even higher. And the ecosystem got enabled with the US playing in the World Cup, US getting qualified in the Super 8, then automatically getting qualified for the next World Cup, then the Olympics. So if you look at it in a stream of things, in a 6-year span, 3 major activities are happening. ICC T20 World Cup, next T20 World Cup qualification automatically for the country, then the next one is the Olympics. So this is a prime time for the cricket to flourish in the country at this point. If it does not happen now, I think it's not going to happen again at this point. Yeah. That's my view.
And we just are celebrating our United boys winning in South Africa, well represented by Blazers there as well. Shout out to Sabi, who else Supranj. From Blazers? Supranj, of course.
So we had one of my coach had a similar podcast with Vincent Vinay Kumar, which I'll share with you. So he was talking so high about the overall performance of the USA team. And he was pretty appreciative about the efforts done by academies like Blazers out here. And we were really proud and we were very happy to do that, actually.
This is excellent because I know the standard of the minor league because I have a nephew who plays for the Orlando team. And I mean, I've been told about the quality of some of the players who play. I mean, it's not what you call a simple matter to have Tej Narayan, Chandrapal and others play. These are all test players who play them in the minor league, not the major league, even in the minor league. So this is a huge plus. And I really, really love the idea of having 78 players coming in from the youth system into this. We seem to have opened up the door. We are allowing a lot more people come in to make their way into this minor league system. And of course, I mean, we do see the feeder from the minor league into the major league. That's there. So this is really outstanding work at the youth level to bring this kind of talent pool. A system that seems to work even in a land where cricket is not played much. In fact, there are so many parts of this country where the game is not being played, may not be played. And there's a lot of barrier to entry to get people outside of subcontinent or cricket playing countries or those of that origin to play the sport.
Totally, totally. I think the 78 was an arbitrary number. I put it in as a 3 per team, actually. But I think there's a possibility that it can be even more. So I don't want to limit us. I've been very conservative. Like, for example, in my team last year, under 19, I had 5 players. So when I look at that way, if every team is being mandated to do 4 to 5 players out of your 8-member squad, then the game is even different, right? So
youth is
and
the answer.
Then also you can be part of the training squad. People can be thriving to become the training squad. And it's becoming competitive. And also there is no reservation for a player in any sport once you are in a potential squad. If you want to be in the playing 11, you need to perform well, end of the day. So that means the first step is you can help them enable to come into the squad and then you do your best. Then you will be recognized. We have excellent examples. The captain of Bay Blazers was Sanjay Krishnamurthy, the youngest ever captain, which I started in 2023 and then 2024 also, same way. We have another excellent youth-driven team, which is here in Grizzlies, also did a similar job. And I'm so proud of them too. So both the teams, like you see, the last year we had already Sanjay being captaining. That's a simple example of how youth can lead a very experienced set of players. Same thing was done by the Grizzlies too, actually. So I was completely happy with that act by all the teams across the
board. Awesome. Yeah, we've been following Sanjay quite closely. And I've also seen how his personal growth has been sort of accelerated when he was thrust with these responsibilities. He had some amazing knocks for USA national team as well on the back of that confidence. So I think you're doing some really nice things and the results are showing. Thought we'll switch gears a little bit. We have talked about all things cricket everywhere. But let's talk a little bit about the man himself. Biju, what is your day like? That is something that I always wonder. You technologist and cricket entrepreneur. So how's your day like? Like, how do you balance all your interests?
Good question. The difficult answer always will be replied with reply that it's a good question, right? That's what I learned when I came to this country. If I cannot answer it in a nice way, the best way is to recognize and respect the question. A good question. Thank you. Okay. So on a serious note, I've been part and parcel of the startup for the last 8+ years. We have been successful in getting to an exit. The next part of the journey in the recent past, just a month back, I came out of that company at this point. So I would say that when I'm talking to you today, Vijay, much less loaded, less busy compared to when we saw a few years back, actually, put it that way. So in the last 1.5 months, probably I'm 100% into the cricket. So my day now is very different than my day used to be. So now I would say that my day wakes up with talking about cricket, doing about cricket, and it's all about how to expand the infrastructure, how to expand the overall possibilities of cricket in US. And that is a genuine interest that I consider this as my potential next startup, actually. More with the passion, rather less with the commercial interest, actually, put it that way. So the thing is, at this point, I'm fortunate to be in this country with a lot of opportunities being provided. And I was the founder and CTO at AlphaOre Technologies, which was sold to merge with Zero North. And continued to be the CTO for an year. Then came out and now I'm trying to establish this entity to as wider, as deeper, as larger possible. The day starts thinking about cricket, scheduling, looking at which part of the academy today I need to travel. Say every day I make it a point that from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. I am at one of the academy center. So locations at 5 places. We have in Tracy, we have in Dublin, we have in Milpitas, we have in Santa Clara, we have in San Jose, we have in Fremont. So I will be at least making sure that my presence is there, meet the players, meet the kids. The whole intention of going there is to convey the intensity I am carrying, at least to some element, so that continuous conversations will kind of enable people. You have to show, you have to be present, you have to convey, you have to communicate and be part of them, be a friend with the players and coaches. So that's what I'm trying to do. Every day, 4 to 5 hours, right in the middle of the coaching area. That's what I do.
Well, leading by example. Hope you write a book one day. I think it'll be gobbled up.
I hope I get an opportunity to do so. Yeah. I hope I get an opportunity to do so. I think that ability to write anything or to share it with somebody else only if it is becoming an potentially a thing which can be repeatable, right? That's absolutely when you wanted to record it. So I hope I will be able to do that, I think.
One thing I do admire is that your sense of humor, I think you use it very effectively. What I do remember is once it was in the Santa Clara ground and Biju was pacing around. I think it was like winter season. So Biju has a very special hat he wears during winters. And I didn't know what was going on. He was in a very pensive mood walking around. And I just went up to him and I said, "You look like M.G. Ramachandran." And he just looked up at me. I had obviously broken some strong line of thought. He just looked at me. "When I'm surrounded by Nambiars, this is what I should be doing."
Glad that you were identifying those many of these things. This is a classic. I don't know whether it's a humor or more a sarcasm. It comes a lot from me, actually, to be very honest.
Yeah, so those things help, right, to tackle all the day-to-day.
I think so. I think I have, I always tell with my youth students, I have that the tough and love kind of a situation with them. So this element of you're able to convey messages very firmly, but also element of a humor, playing around with them. I think this is just natural. I'm impressed, Vijay. You have noticed so many things of my specific things. Many people have not called out. Trust me, you have noticed many points, actually. Yeah,
these are all admirable qualities. I think humor is somehow always an undersold quality, and I've seen you use it quite effectively. So I wanted to call that out.
I second what Vijay is saying, because these are generally a tough setups wherein you have to run the show. It's very top down in many ways, and your ability to inject humor and helps you establish a relationship of comfort, and that goes a long way.
Totally. I agree. Yeah.
And back to cricket. So tell us a little bit about your favorite cricketers, both past, present, and people who are coming up the ranks.
That's a
good question.
Actually, I would put a very emphasis. It's a tough question. So past cricketers and being in the around 1980-78 or 88-85-83 kind of a time. So my favorite cricketers, I have to say two of them, to be very clear. Definitely Sunil Gavaskar,
yeah,
and Vivian Richards. So these are my favorites, actually. So I was a big admirer of mighty West Indians at that point of time, watching all the game, winning over them. For India, the World Cup was something significant, which was unimaginable for a boy at that time. But it happened, and then it happened due to many, many reasons, actually, and including the one of the best all-rounder we had, couple, actually. So, but personally, I always a big fan of Sunil and Vivian Richards. Very unique players, I thought. So their approach to the game was totally different. And they were never afraid about with Sunil Gavaskar, I had an opportunity to talk to him in person very closely, many, many hours sitting beside me and multiple times, actually. Even to be precise, this last ICC T20, when we won the World Cup, the person sitting next to me was Sunil Gavaskar. We were sitting just side by side, sitting together and watching the game, actually.
Oh, that's right. You did organize the watch party here.
Yeah. Kash from NCCA was organizing that watch party. And I was invited, and I used to run the previous year of the San Francisco Unicorn, but this year Prakash Giri was doing from NCCSI. So, but I had an opportunity to just sit next to Sunil Gavaskar and cherish that moment, actually.
Oh, it's a wonderful and, experience.
I mean, the current cricketers, I think without any confusion, I'll say I love Virat Kohli. Simple. There's no other discussion, actually. What form he is now, that doesn't matter. He's an amazing cricketer, actually. So I think he also made a big difference for all of us, how the cricket is being played with the mind, and a lot of different approaches has been brought in, actually. So no doubt about it. Again, not at all belittling any of my respect to and liking to Sachin and all, but I think I'm just looking present as a more of a recent person. If I look at it from a transition perspective, Gavaskar to Sachin to Virat, that's my liking from a timeline perspective, actually. Future, to be very honest, I mean, I'm unable to really see that the consistency of the potential, to be very honest. That's a reality. A lot of good names coming in and out. To be very honest, at some point, you felt that there is another Virat Kohli in make by looking at the players like Shubman Gill and some other players. Now we are seeing Jaiswal, and then you see many. To be very honest, I am unable to analyze it to make a comment. The reason I don't see a consistency of that potential depth actually there. That's honest talk.
So, Biju, we have pulled too much of your time on a busy weekday. So thanks so much for coming to our podcast. So I would just like to wrap this up with your thoughts on what is your focus going to be in 2025 and maybe beyond that.
Excellent. I think next 6 months. The thing is in this era, even talking about 1 year is a long term, to be very honest. Okay. So I want to be tactically strategic. It sounds like an oxymoron actually, but the thing is I want to be a tactically strategic person, and which is what I am normally. So whatever I'm looking at this point is next few months or 6 months, I want to focus a bit on the cricket and the Blazers Cricket Academy and to expand the influence of the academy, influence in the youth, influence in the overall USA cricket by the academy and also the minor league franchising. So that is different types of expansion and improvements which we are planning. And that is my focus area, if I were to say. And the youth is one of the primary focus. That continued to be by building potentially new grounds, potentially bringing in a lot more structured system in the overall youth cricket to be part and parcel of organizations like USA Cricket, Minor League, Major League, as well as local leagues like Northern California Cricket Association. And we also have, as part of my overall cricket Blazers and Bay Area family, I have five to six teams here and as part of the Northern California Cricket Association also. So these are all a feeder system. So whatever their focus in the next 6 months is to enable, expand, and make the system to be a system which can pull the players, not push the game to the players, pull the players to play more games, actually. So that's what the whole objective.
Awesome. And wishing you all the very best for the new year and the years ahead. I'm looking forward to seeing you out in the fields.
Thank you. Thank you for the great opportunity. And I think it has been a very nice, very thoughtful discussion. And Vijay, I'm completely stumped by some of the observations, actually.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Biju, for spending your time with us and wishing you all the very best.